Hi, I'm Eric Dewey from the Socially Awkward Studios, Science and Beer, and Her Majesty's Secret Podcast, and you're listening to another proud presentation of the Four Eyed Radio Network. Check out more shows at foureyedradio.com.
My name is AP. After 5 years in anonymous fandom hell, I've come online with only one goal: to save the podcast. But my old approach wasn't enough. I had to become someone else. I had to become the Black Canary. Or Secret Ranger fan. Whatever.
My name is Zach Lavoie, and I am the biggest fan alive. To the outside world, I'm an ordinary fanboy. But secretly, with the help of my friends at Ranger Command, I fight television crime and find other mega fans like me. I hunted down the man who killed my franchise, but in doing so, I opened up our fandom to new threats, and I am the only fan big enough to stop them. I am the Cinema Slob.
My name is Eric Berry. In 2014, the lack of Power Ranger podcasts was disturbing. I have assembled an elite team of podcasters to entertain the masses through time and space. My plan is opposed by the very organization we support, Saban Brands. In the future, my friends may not be heroes, but if we succeed, they'll be podcast legends.
You have failed this city. It's time for the Flaro Cave Power Hour.
Welcome to the Flaro Cave Power Hour on the Four Eyed Radio Network. It's time to suit up with your hosts. I'm Eric, also known as Rip Hunter.
I'm AP, also known as Black Canary.
And I'm Zach, also known as The Flash.
This episode is brought to you by Revenge Lover. Illustration designs that fit your personality. For samples and inquiries, visit revengelover.com. Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey, it's going great.
It's going great.
Oh yeah. It was a great week of all new Flash and Arrow episodes. Well, maybe not Arrow.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
First, we do have a couple of news items in Flaro Nation. So first, there have been some set photos recently kind of indicating that it could be Laurel Lance that's the one in the grave. I guess they filmed like a couple of funeral scenes, like a couple different ones. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, there's like fire coming out of my ears right now. Okay.
Well, tell us.
Okay, so I'll tell you all about the fire.
Firestorm?
Yeah. So they filmed a couple of funeral scenes a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. One of them seemed to be a flashback sequence that suggests that maybe it was Sarah's funeral, the first one, when they thought that she died on the island.
Okay.
Or in the boat crash.
Oh, that's right, because the guy who plays Detective Lance, he had hair.
Yeah, he was wearing a wig.
Paul Blackthorne.
I'm horrible with names. Yeah.
So then they also filmed another funeral scene seemingly the same day, I guess so that they could get it done quicker. Makes a lot of sense, actually. But it was present day. Nyssa was there. Pretty much the entire Arrow team was there. Captain Lance was there without hair and in a different outfit than he was in the other funeral. Except that picture's not as widely circulated, so some people might not know that. And then the only person who wasn't confirmed to be at the present day funeral filming was Laurel. However, she was in the flashback sequence with dark hair, which if you've been watching the series since the beginning, you know that in the beginning she had darker hair, and in the flashback sequences, it was also dark.
She's dyed her hair for being Black Canary, right? She dyed it blonde, so she didn't have to wear a wig, right?
Yeah, she went back to blonde hair, so they made her not wear a wig anymore. That part sounds clear to me.
Any speculation at this point as to who's in the grave? Because they're building it up to be a pretty huge plot point.
Well, here's
my thought is this. So she also posted recently that she was doing wig fittings. I'm wondering if it's going to be like a fake out death. Like the world must think that Laurel Lance is dead so that she can really still be Black Canary without worry of repercussions on her family.
I'm wondering if that was an old picture, though, that she posted of wig fittings. Because here's the thing. She's been posting a lot. She dyed her hair, too. Katie Cassidy. She dyed her hair dark. So that's also kind of like a eh. But then she posted the wig fittings picture, which makes it seem like, oh, maybe she's getting a wig to cover that up. But if you also look at the rest of the stuff she's posting a lot of older pictures from the set. So I'm wondering if she's just trying to play it up like, oh, I'm still alive, but she like totally isn't.
They're really covering their tracks on the show, so we're not going to know until it happens.
Yeah.
We'll definitely talk more about this in our Arrow review coming up, because I've got some things to say, as I'm sure we all do.
Yeah.
But next, I think this is a little bit more exciting news in regards to some Arrow cast members. Arrow and the Flash stars unite for the Code 8 movie. So Stephen Amell and Robbie Amell are fans of science fiction. Not only do they work on CW's Arrow and Flash respectively, but they also want to spend this summer on the set of a sci-fi movie. Apparently, they need some help to make that happen. So the cousins have launched an Indiegogo campaign to make their movie Code 8 a reality. Code 8 is set in a world where police are targeting people with superhuman abilities. The Amells want to make this a full-length movie, but they do need some financial help. The campaign will last a month. It started about 5 days ago. And over that time, they hope to raise at least $200,000. Robbie clarified that they don't want fans to finance the entire thing. Here's a quote from Robbie Amell. "We're not really ready to say how much that we want. We've set our goal in Indiegogo at $200,000 because we don't want to feel like the fans are really more than just helping us get it off the ground," he told Coming Soon. "I don't think it would be fair to ask everybody for money. We're putting our own money into it. If we're not willing to take a chance on ourselves, then why should we expect anybody else to? But the nice thing is, because of people like cast member Sung Kang, and because it's a genre movie, we can pre-sell territories. There's a lot of ways to get this off the ground." So as of yesterday, they've actually met and exceeded their goal on Indiegogo. Right now, the total is around $260,000, and they have presented some stretch goals. If you guys want to check out the campaign, which lasts until April 22nd, you can look it up on Indiegogo under Code 8. So what do you guys think of this?
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's great for trying to get this off the ground and everything. Obviously, with Steven being in Ninja Turtles coming out this summer, and Robbie was in
X-Files?
X-Files, but he was also in another movie, I think it was called The Duff last year.
Oh, right.
That was a while ago.
Okay, it was maybe a year or two ago. But it's obvious that they have the chops to be able to carry movies, so I'm all for it. The premise sounds really cool, too.
Yeah,
I checked out the little short trailer that they did. They definitely have a vision for this, which I'm excited about. And I'm all about science fiction. I know that they do have the chops to carry something like this, because even though they're on The Flash and Arrow, which can be considered kind of sci-fi in a way with their comic book nature, but even on those shows, they play their roles pretty seriously. I mean, The Flash and Arrow, there are some funny and comedic moments, but otherwise, these shows are pretty straight on the drama and the action.
Right.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in this. And I really liked Robbie's comment about them putting their own money into this.
Yes.
And that if we're not willing to take a chance on ourselves, why should anyone else do? To me, that speaks volumes, especially in regards to maybe some other actors in other genre shows doing their own campaigns.
Yeah.
Where it's all like, give me money, give me money, give me money. And the end product may not be as great, or they under-deliver what they were promising. But I think Steven and Robbie have some... I believe in them. I think they're going to create something really spectacular.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
They're not exactly high-profile actors, but they're a little bit more in the public eye. They've got huge fandoms around them. Like, higher-profile fandoms, at least currently. So they really also can't afford to under-deliver.
Right.
So it's just that much more reassurance that this will probably get done really well. It'll get done right.
I was going to say, too, one of the other things is, you know, Stephen Amell does a lot of his own stunt work. He's constantly trying to make things look as best they can with him doing the stunt work and not worrying about, like, oh, we'll have a stunt actor do it, and then we'll just CGI his face on or whatever. A couple of years ago, Eric, remember when he was in the SummerSlam event for WWE?
Yeah.
He went every day, and he trained in the ring, and he did those moves. And, like, you can tell how excited he was to be able to finally do that stuff because he's a huge fan of wrestling to begin with. But he brings that sort of same positive energy when he wants to, when he does this stunt work on the show and everything. So I think if he can also transfer that onto the big screen, that'll really help the movie out too.
Stephen Amell is definitely one of those rare actors in this day and age that put that much care into the craft of acting. He really cares about being Oliver Queen. He goes to the producers suggesting things. He does a lot of his stunts, like you say. Mm-hmm. He stays in shape. To me, that's more of a rare old school breed of actor. I think he's a cool dude. Like, I follow him on Facebook. He's always talking with the fans. He's obviously a very caring husband and father. The guy's awesome. Mm-hmm. So when they say that they want to make this the best that it's going to be, and they're putting their own money behind it, I would be totally down for that.
Yeah, their excitement, I think, generates excitement for their fans to be like, yes, yeah, I want you to succeed here. Let me help by fronting the money. As you can see, I mean, they had it funded in, what, 5 days?
It was less than five days, like, and it was fully funded.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they still have, like,
over 20
days.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, 24, 25 days where just, like, now the money coming in is just going to make the movie even that much more awesome.
Right now, they do have a $300,000 stretch goal. Actually, let me click on it, because I typed this into our show notes yesterday, so this may have already skyrocketed.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We should see what it is at time of recording.
Oh my God.
Oh, okay.
It is over $300,000.
Oh, wow. Yeah, look at that.
$303,000 raised in 4 days.
That is fantastic.
So they have already reached their next stretch goal. Wow. They haven't even announced what the next stretch goal is after that. So this is pretty incredible. And that just goes to show you their star power, at least in the CW fandom.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, check out Code 8. It's going to look awesome. And maybe give to it if you have a chance.
Yeah. I wish I was a rich man, because holy some of these high-end perks are pretty darn awesome.
Oh, I haven't even looked at the higher-end perks.
I would totally buy this signed Arrow and Firestorm photo one. I would just put some kind of money towards it so that I could be entered into this.
The disc and Firestorm is sold out.
A lot of them are sold out already. Wow. And they're adding second wave ones that are like a little bit more expensive, but they have to keep doing that too, because even like the second waves are selling out.
Honestly, look, for $250, which isn't really a lot of money, you can be an extra in the movie. Granted, you have to pay for your own travel and accommodations, but like, I would do that. Where are they filming? If they're filming in Los Angeles, that's easy for me, because I have family I can go stay with out there.
I think they might just film it in Vancouver.
They're filming it in Toronto.
Okay.
So that would be slightly less cost effective for me to do, but still, to be an extra in this amazing...
Well, it says April 2007. I would almost say...
2017?
Like, screw the conventions for the rest of this year and save for that.
Right?
Because... Wow, and 74 out of 200 have already claimed the Be An Extra perk.
Exactly.
A lot of people have claimed the ridiculously expensive ones, too.
Yeah, so that really goes to show you that the fans are really behind this.
I really wish I had money, because these stretch goals that they have, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the one that they just met, the $300,000 one, they're doing a full cast signed Flash poster giveaway with that one. Yeah, I would love to have that, but the next stretch goal is the full cast signed Arrow poster giveaway.
$700 one, signed X-Files sides. Mm-hmm. We'll send you official sides from the finale of X-Files, signed by David Duchovny, Gillian Anderson, and Robbie Amell. Holy crap.
That's awesome.
This is insane.
Yeah. These perks are really good. Some of these Indiegogo ones with like actors, they're kind of terrible perks, but these are really good perks. And
oh my God.
I want every single one of them.
if you had $3,500, you can go Fast and Furious with the cast. Go go-karting with Robbie Amell and Sung Kang from Fast and Furious to show you have what it takes. We'll also give you Code 8 t-shirt plus the digital perks package perk.
That's awesome.
One person has already claimed that.
Yeah, so somebody gets to go go-karting with Robbie Amell and Sung Kang.
One person is already a co-executive producer at
$10,000. Oh my gosh, did you... $25,000 one.
Big time
birthday party.
Read that. You get to come to Robbie and Steven's birthday parties with them. And we'll they'll fly you and a friend and put you up somewhere. So all that's taken care of. You get to spend the entire day with them, and Robbie will bake the cake.
So we need to pool our funds somehow to get this to happen.
Yes. Oh, we'll all go in on this $25,000 perk, so we can go to the...
Crap, if I had the money, my Flero God.
Flero Cave live from Robbie and Steven's birthday party.
That would be awesome.
Oh, yeah. That would be huge for Flero Cave Power Hour or FCPH. That does it for the news. We're going to be reviewing this past week's new episodes, except we're reviewing the newest Legends of Tomorrow, which was actually a couple weeks ago. Why were they not on this week?
They aired a new episode when the other two were on break.
Are they going to be back next
week? Yeah, they'll be back. Yeah. They'll be back the 31st. Okay, good.
All right. First, we're going to review The Flash, the newest episode, Trajectory. So in this episode, the Flash team worked to train Barry to get faster so that he can stop Zoom. However, they hit a roadblock and decide to go out to have fun and decompress. While they are at a club, another speedster shows up and robs everyone before escaping. A Mercury Labs employee, Eliza Harmon, turns out to be the speedster who developed Velocity 9 from samples Caitlin gave her to help with Jay's illness. Operating under the name Trajectory, she invades Star Labs, imprisons Barry, and demands more V9. After she threatens Jesse's life, Dr. Wills and Caitlin make more of the drug for Eliza, who then speeds off to wreak havoc on the city. Barry tracks her down and tries to talk Eliza into giving up. She refuses and injects more V9 into her system before speeding off. Barry watches as Eliza's speed becomes so intense that her lightning turns blue and she disintegrates. Meanwhile, Jesse decides to leave the city to experience the world on her own. Based on what Barry saw from the overuse of V9, the similarities between Zoom's speed and Jay's sickness, and Cisco's vibe, the team concludes that Jay is Zoom.
Ooh. Oh my God.
Holy crap.
I've got like actual chills right now.
So much stuff happened on this episode, you guys. It's insane.
I really like this episode. And the promos definitely gave this episode like it was going to be a more fun romp. Like, ooh, it's a female Flash.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, wow. And no, this was actually pretty dark in some ways.
Yeah. I really dug the way that they gave Trajectory this sort of split personality.
I'm wondering if that was a condition that Eliza had that was enhanced by V9, or if that's just a side effect of V9. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if Jay has a split personality.
Yeah, that's also what I was kind of going with, because we can kind of put the pieces together from what they said, and Zoom was so fast he could be in two places at once.
Right.
But then how would that explain how the Flash in Earth 2 was like an established hero?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless Zoom is a Jay from another Earth, Earth 3.
The rumblings that I've seen... Okay, so do you guys remember the episode where Jay takes Caitlin and introduces her to Earth 1 Hunter Zolomon?
Yes. Yeah.
There's talk that Zoom from Earth 2 is Earth 2 Hunter Zolomon.
Wait, say that again?
Okay, so... okay, so Jay from Earth 2. Jay from Earth 2 shows Caitlin why they couldn't find another Jay, but he's like, this is Hunter Zolomon.
Okay.
So people are saying that Zoom, who we think is another Jay, is actually just Hunter Zolomon from Earth 2.
The problem I have with...
But then are they like twins? Like, then what is that?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they could be twins, or it could be a clone situation. Like, there's so many variables that, like, it's really hard to kind of...
But that's where it kind of falls apart for me, though.
Like, yeah, I'm with you, AP, because I'm wondering, because now they're making these connections with the blue lightning and that Jay was already sick to begin with.
And how it, like, apparently kind of changes your personality.
But my curious thing is this, though. So at the end of the episode before the hiatus.
Right.
And we saw Zoom grab Jay and kill him.
There was literally two of them.
Yeah, when he came back to Earth 2, he dropped Jay's body on the floor, took off his mask, and said, well, this is a complication.
So
it's a split personality thing?
I was thinking maybe if it's not a split personality thing, and it's not like a twin thing, maybe it's a time travel thing?
It could always be a time travel thing, that's true.
Wow, how crazy would that be if Zoom is basically Jay Garrick's Reverse Flash. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if both him and Barry have these future counterparts that are trying to destroy him, that would just be crazy.
It's absolutely crazy. Yeah. Like, I just need more Flash. I need just, can we liquefy it and just inject it straight into the veins like V9? Can we please?
Let's talk about trajectory a bit. I loved her costume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so cool. And I like how quickly that they figured out that it had to be someone sort of a scientist who would have to know the needs of a speedster. Mm-hmm. Because obviously Barry's suit is designed to work with his super speed.
Right, exactly.
I thought it was very cool. And I kind of liked the light opening where obviously they're trying to get Barry to be even faster and to make these huge leaps with his speed. And then those drones come in, and even the music leading into the title card was a little bit more lighthearted.
Yeah, I really love,
and I kind of appreciated
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I really love Cisco's line. Oh, why'd you bring the drones, Cisco?
I liked it where he was like, yeah, I'm like 80% sure. 72% yeah, sure.
Like hard 72.
Cisco is always great. And mm-hmm. I loved when Trajectory said her name. He's like, oh, it's always the crazy ones that name themselves. Like, he didn't get to. Didn't he say something like,
he called her bad,
he's like,
bad
oh, I'm flash. Losing my game.
He called her Bad Flash.
Yeah,
Bad Flash.
Bad Flash. And he's like, oh, no, that's terrible. I'm losing my touch. Hey. Cisco's consistently my favorite character on the show. Yeah.
I also loved the B plot with Jesse
mm-hmm.
and her dad.
How crazy because, is that? Oh, my God. That we didn't even touch on that.
Well, we're touching on good. It now. First of all, I liked that when she was watching probably like some VH1 history of
oh my God, I
Destiny's
love that
Child.
Part.
For some reason.
Yeah.
And then she's like, wait, that doesn't make sense. Senator Knowles? I was busting
I was
the
like,
gun.
Yes.
Anytime they do that, like, Earth 1, Earth 2, do you have this? Do you know what this is thing? Always cracks me up.
They did it again in this episode when Jesse needed a blood transfusion.
Oh my God.
And Dr. Wells is like, oh yeah, she's like PZ negative. Yeah. Cisco was like, that's not even a thing here, dude. It was crazy. Okay, I noticed something, and I want to ask if you guys noticed the same thing. But when she met Wally West, the detector
yes.
went off.
Yes! Yes, it did. It.
The metahuman detector went off.
It's I,
like, is that what that was?
Yeah, the yeah. little beeping thing on her wrist, that was the metahuman detector.
It was the same one that Dr. Wells had been wearing that he recorded his messages on, but that's also the metahuman detector.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
So it was going off and she apologized, but it was going off when Wally got there. It did it one time next to Barry at the bar, but the other time was when she met Wally. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, holy crap.
Part of me really hopes that he, like, already has his powers.
And he just doesn't know it.
And either he doesn't know it or, like, he doesn't use them, doesn't show that he can do it.
Mm.
Oh, man.
It's these little buildups that I really love in The Flash. But, yeah, I really liked everything about Trajectory. I'm kind of sad that she just disintegrated at the end of the episode because I'm like, oh, come on.
Maybe Earth 2 Trajectory. Maybe hey. She's, like, a hero over there. I don't know.
I like that she was this dorky scientist, and then it's just this bad girl,
yeah.
crazy person.
And they really did the whole, like, Norman Osborn Green Goblin thing, where they yeah. used the mirror and everything, too.
I thought that was a very nice touch. That was very cool. Overall, I really enjoyed this episode, and it was kind of a nice break from all the Earth 2 craziness. Yeah. That yeah. we got over the past yeah, few episodes. Yeah.
But man, still, that Earth 2 two-parter, probably still my standout of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was very well done.
Hey, are we done talking about the episode itself? Because I have a theory.
Yes. Okay,
I have a theory.
Go ahead.
It's a kind of a theory that I saw online, but now I believe it. We all know how The Flash is going to cross over to Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
Soon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how...
Well, next week.
Yeah. Well, yeah. By the time this comes out, it will have been on Monday, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we know how he's going to do that, and we know how the Flash episode after that, he goes back in time. Well, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, because it's kind of a small thing, but in the promos for the Supergirl Flash crossover, there's like short sequences where you can see Barry in a suit with a red emblem. And I've been wondering, like, why they're doing that. Like, why would they use old footage in these new trailers? But then it kind of hit me. Maybe that actually leads into the next Flash episode somehow.
Interesting.
Yeah, maybe. The thing I noticed is promos for the Flash stuff. Have you watched all of them, by the way, AP?
Yeah.
Okay, the first one where he meets Kara for the first time, he's wearing Wells's tachyon device on his chest.
Yes, and I think that's how he not only crosses into a new Earth, because they can't rely on the portals anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so maybe he thinks that by using the tachyon device, he'll just create one. I mean, obviously he does, because he ends up in the city.
Yeah, but so not only does it have the ability to cross into an alternate Earth, but AP, like you're suggesting about the time travel, because tachyons are all about time travel. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is going to get complicated.
But see, here's what I love. We're speculating on the episodes, but, like, by the time this episode comes out, the episodes will have been out. So it's like we can't... We're stabbing in the dark really close to the light switch. We just can't turn the light switch on yet.
Time travel.
That's what it is. We'll time travel and then come back and do it again. It'll be fine.
All right. Let's move on to Arrow. I'm sorry.
Yeah. To...
We kind of do.
It's like getting to eat your ice cream and then being told, oh, by the way, now you have to eat this big heaping helping of nasty spinach.
Well, here we go.
Spinach ice cream. Yeah.
You know, gross.
It's like that.
All right. So this is Arrow Broken Hearts. For the record, I hate any episode with Cupid in it. I hate her. She's dumb.
The only one I liked was when she was on Task Force X.
Yes.
Deadshot was there. That was the only one I've liked with her in it.
Yeah. Same here. All right. So, Cupid returns to Star City and begins targeting high-profile couples. While the team works to track her whereabouts and prevent any more killings, Laurel works in court fighting Damian Dark's attempt to have the charges dismissed against him. After several failed attempts to find a suitable witness, Captain Lance volunteers to testify about his involvement with Dark. The team discovers that Cupid is targeting couples that have recently been married. In order to draw her out, Oliver convinces Felicity to stage a secret wedding with him to set themselves up as targets, then leaks the information to the media. The plan works, and Cupid attacks Oliver and Felicity at the ceremony. Felicity distracts her long enough for Diggle and Thea to apprehend her. At the trial, Captain Lance's testimony is deemed sufficient to establish probable cause for the charges, and Dark is remanded into custody without bail. Captain Lance is suspended pending an investigation, while Felicity quits the team for good. In flashbacks, Oliver leads Ryder to a mystical idol, but steals it and runs off into the tunnels.
Oh, God.
You know what? You said it best on Twitter. I am so sick of Felicity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's the thing. Everything that Felicity has done since she's learned of Oliver's son is completely selfish, and she's being a complete drama queen for no reason.
Yeah.
You can't see me, but I'm nodding my head vigorously.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I hated this initially when it started in the Flash Arrow crossover. Mm-hmm. With the alternate timeline, because as soon as she found out that he had a son, that ended their relationship before Barry went back in time. I knew that was going to be a problem then when they hinted at it, but to me, this is completely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I caught up earlier this week on the past few episodes of Arrow since I was behind, and the moment when she, in the last episode, when she got out of the chair and just walked out on him, I was like, this is the dumbest
that
ever.
I literally threw my arms up into the air and I was like, what?
I laughed.
This is, just, this is some of the worst fan fiction ever.
Yes.
She has become such a Mary Sue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Again, the scene where you lied to me and I don't know if I can trust you. Well, okay. And then she gets up out of the chair and just walks away. I was laughing. I was laughing my off at how bad that episode was.
Yeah.
It's so dumb to me because for as smart as Felicity is, and her whole speech to Oliver in the last episode where she's like, well, I know why you had to do this and I know this.
Yeah.
So then if you know all that and you understand it, why the f*** are you walking out on
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, she's being entirely selfish and childish, and you know what? Damien Dark needs to come back with another hail of gunfire. Take her out of all of our misery. Let Ollie get with Laurel and let's do it for real.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a tragedy to me. It's a complete murder of her character. For as much in this episode that she talks that she's grown, mm-hmm. she hasn't in one bit.
She's like regressed. She's completely regressed.
I thought of a picture that we need to use for this episode, and it's a picture of the grave with "Here lies Felicity's character."
Will do. I will do that. But the thing is like initially through the first couple seasons, I actually liked Felicity's character.
Yeah,
I liked her until she got together with Oliver, until it became all about their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I know, AP, you've said this before, but it's one of those cases, kind of like Chicago PD, where the writers are saying, well, the fans like this, so let's cater to the fans. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but I don't want the writers to cater to fan fiction bullshit and ships. I don't want writers to commit to shippers. I want writers to do their own jobs and create their own stories. Mm-hmm. There's one thing about pleasing the fans, but it's another to like
sacrifice your creativity
and sacrifice the character development mm-hmm. of a character.
Yeah, exactly.
The things I've liked about this season, I love the Damien Dark plotline.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think he is a tremendous villain.
Noah Dunn is a great actor.
Oh, yeah. I've always loved him as an actor, for sure. And one of his early roles was in Star Trek First Contact, which is my...
that was on the other day, and I forgot that he was in that. And then he showed up on screen, and I was like, Dark? What the hell?
And then he turns into a Borg.
Yeah.
He is killing it with Damien Dark. Not only does he have the presence, mm-hmm. but there's also like this really dark comedy that he uses too, which I love.
That's perfect. He is fantastic in this role.
Oh God. And the ending shot of this episode where he looks directly into the camera gave me chills.
Yeah. You know, he's got planned. Like he's got stuff up his sleeve that we are just going to be blown away.
I want to talk a little bit about the flashbacks. Mm-hmm. Was that idol the same idol that Dark used?
I thought it was, but I could just be misremembering it.
Yeah, I thought it was too.
Because the one with Vixen, where she's banging into it, I thought it was like the same idol. Mm-hmm.
If it is the same idol, it would tie the flashbacks to present day.
Right, which is something they've always done throughout the history of the show.
Yes. But here's my thing. We're in the fourth season.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
This year in the flashbacks, it should be, we're getting to the point where we're meeting up with him in the beginning of the series.
Right. Like, I can't wait for next season to be like, 5 years ago, I came back to my city and it's flashbacks of the first season.
No. Okay. That is pretty funny. But my point is, by the end of this season, the final flashback shot should be him with the beard.
Yeah.
And going back to that first scene from the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then we should be done with these flashbacks.
Yes.
For real.
What if they go the Lost route and we start getting flash forwards?
Well, we're already getting that with the stupid funeral.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot all about that. See?
We're already doing the Lost thing this season.
I really hope we drop the Lost thing.
Yeah.
Because it didn't work for Lost.
Overall, through the course of the past few seasons, I have enjoyed the flashbacks, and I do like the story that they're telling. Mm-hmm. I almost want someone to like edit all of those out and put them together so you can see them all together at once. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That would be neat. Hey, fandom, get on that.
Exactly.
I do have to agree with you on the flashback thing, but yet this season, I've found myself enjoying them a lot less than I did before.
This season, you're right. I really don't know where they're going with the whole writer thing. Mm-hmm. I don't enjoy... What's her face?
Annoying Island Girl?
Yeah. I don't like that. Like, I don't care. Just let the end of this season be first season Oliver Queen with the beard before he gets back.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I just want them to end on that and let's be done with these flashbacks. Let's just focus on the story.
I heard a rumor, but I'm not sure how true it is.
Okay.
Because he was on the island for 5 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've had 4 years of flashbacks. That technically means we have one more year left of flashbacks. And I heard it's going to be him in Russia, how he got involved with the Bratva.
I thought we already covered his history with the Bratva, though.
Who the hell knows?
Anywho.
With this show, you can't even freaking guess
it. Like I said, all I want is season 6. We flash back to season 1, and that's what we should
do. I kind of feel bad for Oliver, because I've been in his position before, literally. So I know what it's like to have an engagement call off and all that stuff. It sucks. So I'm really feeling for Oliver, but at the same time, I'm like, dude, f*** her, because she is, just forget about her, is it's done. She's made it completely clear. You need to move on, bro. I felt bad for Ollie because he poured his soul out on that fake ceremony as if it were real.
Yeah.
I mean, he laid it all on the line.
Yeah.
I really think it was bullshit of Felicity to say all those things to Cupid to distract her, and playing with Oliver's heart just to leave him in the
end.
That's
like a common trope, though, too.
I just want the writers to be above those tropes, though.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Because look how good The Flash is at surprising us every single week with a new twist. And
here's the thing, I think that we've also kind of not really noticed this season with The Flash. How many episodes has there actually been a last shot or a stinger after the ending title card that made you go, oh, shit? We had a ton of those in the first season. Second season, considerably less.
Yeah, but not so much. But we also had those kind of twists in Arrow, too. And they're just not there anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even, like, leaving that aspect out, the main part of The Flash is still so much better. Yeah. Arrow.
Agreed. Right now,
so much better.
Flash is definitely better than Arrow.
It pains me because I really enjoyed the first three seasons of Arrow.
Yeah.
This season is kind of all over the place, and I'm not liking it.
Yeah.
Really, the only thing that's keeping me in it is what's going on with Damian Dark. Mm-hmm. And I love Thea. I love her as Speedy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's really coming to her own as her own hero. I loved the last episode where she totally told Merlin to just screw off.
Yeah.
It was about time. It was a long time coming.
Yeah.
I love the characters, and I love Diggle. Diggle is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always there for Oliver. He even says it's about family first. Mm-hmm. It's about your son. That's what pisses me off about Felicity so much. She's acting so immature. And you could see that in this episode when she was making all those snarky comments when Oliver is suited up as the Green Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's distracting as hell.
Yeah.
I know.
When she's making these jabs. It pissed me off.
I want to, before we totally get back into the rage well with this episode, I want to comment on something that APU mentioned on Twitter. The courtroom scenes in this episode were on point.
Yes.
I want Laurel Lance, district attorney series.
No. I was like, you know,
I want Law and Order Star City.
When Captain Lance was on the stand and he's like, and that son of a made me do it. I was like, yeah, get him, but send him to jail. Woo!
The part that really got me, though, was when he was like, why would I sacrifice so much if I was lying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love that the judge was just like, well, you know, normally all this evidence is kind of circumstantial, but Captain Lance's testimony was so powerful. Yeah, no, go to jail. Go to jail.
I think this series is definitely lacking in showing Laurel as a district attorney.
Yeah.
Because she started out as a public defender in the first season. And in four seasons, she's now basically second to the mayor, essentially. Yeah.
Well, that tends to happen when Dark comes in and kills all the major heads of power.
I get that.
Everybody gets
we'll have Laurel Lance president of the United States because Dark just...
I get it. Dark killed a lot of people, but it's not like she's failing in this role.
No, of course not. She's kicking ass, and I agree with Eric. And I think seeing more of her in this role is needed.
And she's kicking ass out of the suit as well as in it.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it when it's Team Arrow, and if Felicity walks off, bye, Felicity. Like, get the hell out of here.
Oh my God, you did not just do that.
Bye, Felicity.
Bye, Felicity. All right.
No, seriously, I'm glad she quit the team. I don't want her to be in, like, the next five episodes.
And then the,
like,
problem is you get that parting shot of her, like, I'm leaving for good. And then we get a promo for next week's episode where she's like, uh-oh, there's a crime and you gotta fix it because I'm still Felicity Derp.
I didn't see the promo.
Watch the promo, and it's, again, it's this coming week, but by the time you hear this episode, it will have been Wednesday's episode. It's great. They're bringing in Brie Larvin from Flash to be the villain.
Oh, nice.
But,
nice.
Like, still, it's Felicity's there, just like, well, there's a problem, so I guess I have to go help Team Arrow, even though nobody wants me there.
I think the downfall of this season is the will they, won't they bull.
This isn't Friends. This is Arrow.
Yeah. Season 3 ended on such a high note. Oliver's finally happy. They literally ride off into the sunset. It even started great, too, showing their home life and showing that Oliver really was happy. And hey, maybe they can do the crime-fighting thing. But over the course of this season, it's just gone downhill. And I just hate that will they,
and
won't they
crap.
You know
why? It was so much more painful, too, though. Because for, like, a couple episodes there, it was really good again.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
That one chunk of episodes where it was a couple of Nyssa episodes with the Ra's al Ghul thing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And, like, the episode or so after with Vixen.
This season has had a stretch of really great episodes, but, like, the last 4 or 5 episodes where all the Felicity drama started kicking in, it's just been like, why am I still tuning in?
And,
well, I'm still tuning in because I like Neil McDonough as Damian Dark, and I still like 3/4 of Team Arrow, so.
But the thing that gets me, too, again, is that realistically, I feel like I should have seen this coming because I loved the first 2 seasons of Arrow. They were great. Yeah. The 3rd season, it started going downhill when they started focusing on all the Felicity stuff and the love triangle and all that junk. I feel like I should have seen it coming based on that.
No, I hear you. I definitely hear you. I agree. It's so bad. Just capture bad guys. Get married. I don't give a shit. I'm sorry to rant on this, but Felicity knows the nature of Oliver's past. There are going to be things that he's going to keep from her just to protect her. He's led this insane life. And I'm sorry, but she has to accept the fact that he's not going to tell her everything. Because if he told her every single thing, that would put her in so much danger. Ugh.
Yeah.
The fact that she doesn't get that, it really pisses me off. She was able to get in this relationship with him knowing that he's a liar in the first place. But it's not like he's lying maliciously. He lies to protect the people that he loves.
And, like, this lie was so difficult for him.
Yeah. Like, even the mother of his child, his baby mama, said, I was the one that put him in this position. Blame me. And she still blamed Oliver.
Yeah.
I actually feel really sorry for him, like you said, especially in this last episode, where in the past couple episodes before that, he was getting so far on my nerves. Oliver's attitude with everyone, and he constantly talks down to Laurel sometimes, and that just pisses me off. But
yeah, and especially, we should be over the fact of her becoming a hero.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Get over it. She's helped you so much.
She freaking saved his Remember the one episode where she swooped in and Merlin was wearing the Arrow outfit and Laurel basically just freaking jumped in and, like, literally saved the day? Are you kidding me? And you still don't.
But I do get why he's frustrated, because dealing with Felicity is frustrating me and I'm not even dating her.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus. She just pisses me off so much. It's such a trash of her character development. I really don't care anymore.
I don't care about her mom anymore.
Lack of character development. I hate all of it. I hate anything to do with Felicity.
And her mom's coming back next week, and I don't want anything to do with that. Jesus.
I think her mom is a fun character, and her mom has had some good moments this season.
But, like, in small doses.
In small doses. I'm so done with it, and I wish Oliver would get the hell over her already.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't see any reason to be with her anymore. She basically said, it's me or your son. Screw you. I would choose family every single time. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, God. Anyways, let's move on.
I was going to say, the one inkling of hope I have, though, is we know from that one flash forward where, she is in the limo with him after the funeral, but she's not wearing a wedding ring.
Okay.
So that's a little bit of hope that we might be over all that stuff eventually.
My hope is that the Felicity he sees in the limo is just a hallucination.
And she's dead.
Yeah.
I would love that.
We don't normally wish death on people, we swear, but Felicity deserves it.
I just feel bad because...
Don't feel bad.
No, because it's like, I genuinely liked her character the first couple seasons.
I liked her for like season one and two, like 3/4 of season two. So I really liked her. She was like one of my favorite characters the first season.
Yeah.
I liked her for the second. And then after that, I could do without her.
I wanted to touch on this earlier, but we got so entrenched in just hating Felicity.
This is the Flaro Cave Felicity hate hour.
Yeah. How lucky is Captain Lance to only be getting off with a suspension?
Oh,
yeah. They should have locked him up, but like he lucked out super hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope that he stays a captain after all this.
Yeah, me too.
Because the evolution of his character from detective to captain has been really great.
Yeah.
There's been some ups and downs, but throughout it all, I think he's been pretty consistent. I really hope that he's not the one in the grave, because I've heard that rumor too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want it to be any of the Lances, okay? Just like anybody but the Lances. And I'll be cool.
At least Sarah is so far away from the show because she's in Legends of Tomorrow, which we're going to talk about right now.
Let's move on to a better show.
Yes. So this is Night of the Hawk. Rip and the team arrive in Oregon in 1958 to investigate a series of murders seemingly tied to Savage. Infiltrating a mental institution, Sarah discovers that Savage is a doctor there, under the name Curtis Knox. Ray and Kendra pose as a married couple to investigate a murder in a small suburban area, but discover that Savage lives there as well. Elsewhere, Jefferson is attacked by a humanoid bird-like creature created by Savage from an nth metal meteorite that gave Kendra her powers. While trying to get a wounded victim to the ship, Jefferson is abducted by the local sheriff and delivered to Savage. The team decides to go after Savage at the hospital, where he has already infected Jefferson with the nth metal and transformed him into one of the creatures. Kendra confronts Savage, but he almost kills her before Ray rescues her. The rest of the team manage to capture Jefferson. Back at the ship, Drs. Stein and Gideon create a serum that cures Jefferson and the other victims. Kronos then arrives and storms the ship, which forces the Wave Rider to quickly leave, stranding Ray, Sarah, and Kendra in 1958. And after reading all that, I realized that I have not watched this episode, even though I thought I did.
Oh, dear.
I thought I did, and I'm like, wait, that, what? So you guys are going to have to carry the discussion for
me. Yep, can do. I really enjoyed all of the playing up the time period. When Ray and Kendra move into the house, the realtor says this really kind of snarky, yes, there's plenty of room. There's even a guest room for the help, while looking at Kendra.
Oh, like the whole racism
exactly.
thing in the 50s? Yeah. Yeah.
And like, Ray is just completely oblivious, and of course Kendra's equally playing up the snark, where she's like, oh no, I'm his wife. And the realtor's just like, oh, well, that's good. You know what? Maybe you guys should find a different house in a more progressive neighborhood.
Wow.
Yeah, like, it's the racism is palpable.
I think that's what I like so much about this show, is because I think they're pretty accurately portraying the time periods.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
at least that we've seen
like,
so far.
As accurately as they can for a comic book CW show. Like,
yeah, yeah.
The bit that I really thought was funny, too, was there's a bit where Rip tells Jefferson, hey, this girl is the girlfriend of one of the victims that we need to research. Follow her. Get to know her. And Jefferson says something. Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's going to go over well. A black teenager in the 50s talking to a white girl. they made light of the racism, but like it's still there.
It's still true.
It's very true. And yeah, there are parts, for example, you mentioned during the synopsis, the part where the police officer abducts him. He calls him boy and shit like that. And you're just like, oh, okay. Well, geez. It's prevalent, but it's not, it doesn't really beat you over the head with
They're not ignoring it,
but they're not beating you over the head with the serious nature of it. Because these characters are from 2000s and 2016, they can sort of play with the humor of it in a dark way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Right. But even so, even in present day, there's still this like resurgence of racism, you know, with the whole Black Lives Matter movement. So in some ways, the characters can at least sympathize with it because it's even in 2016, it's still going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Bravo to the writers for even addressing that. Like you said, AP, yeah, it may be just a comic book type of show, but I'm glad that they're still addressing the issue.
AP, what did you think of the episode?
I liked it. I liked the Kendra and Ray subplot a lot more than I liked the Sarah and random nurse subplot.
So what happened there? Since I didn't see the theme episode, apparently.
I don't know. Zach, you want to explain it?
Yeah. So to get into the hospital where they suspect that Savage is working, Dr. Stein poses as a neurologist and he has his personal assistant nurse played by Sarah. And Sarah hits it off with another nurse in the hospital. And she's like, hey, it's cool. I know you're, you know, a lesbian.
Hey-o.
And like, I know it's hard for you to kind of come to terms with that stuff. The other nurse is just like, well, you know, we're not really supposed to talk about that. And it's frowned upon and it's thought of as being immoral and, you know, 50s, stuff in the 50s.
Right.
But they sort of hit off this friendship and the other nurse makes a move and kisses Sarah. And Sarah kind of freaks out a little bit. Obviously, she feels an attraction to this other nurse. But at the same time, she's like, I'm a time traveler. I'm going to be leaving in like a day. I can't make an attachment here. And so the other nurse mistakes this freak out as Sarah actually not being a lesbian or into her that way. Mm-hmm. And so like it causes a sort of confusion. But in the end, it works out. Of course, we're going to see the second half of that now with the team being stuck still in the 50s.
I really like that Legends of Tomorrow is doing kind of these like two-parters with the time periods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it gives the story a little bit more room to breathe.
Yeah, exactly.
I almost wish we got a two-parter with the whole 2046 Star City thing.
Yeah.
That was such a good episode.
Because that would have been cool.
Yeah.
I really like seeing future Oliver Queen. And I want to know, how did he lose his arm? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Just to comment on that for a bit, that whole episode, I loved it. But then there were like these little things that just annoyed the heck out of me.
You know what? I know exactly what you mean because I was annoyed with all of the I can't think of his name.
Connor Hawk.
No, not Connor Hawk.
Nick Rory.
I kind of liked him. Yeah, I didn't like his whole, "Hey, I'm king of the criminals now."
I was kind of okay with that.
Yeah,
like personally,
that was totally in character for him, I think.
But the whole thing where they made Connor Hawk Diggle's son, that kind of annoyed me because that's so far from, like, I realize, yeah, the TV show and the comics are separate.
Right.
But just the entire situation surrounding that is incredibly aggravating because that's a whole issue in itself. That's an issue for like another episode of this podcast. But
yeah, for sure.
I get what you're saying, AP, because obviously they can't bring everything from the comics and I know they've been fudging things along and this whole series, this whole Flaro universe is more of an alternate TV
version. I like the differences. I love them because if I wanted to follow the comic story, I would just go read the comics.
Read it. Then help me understand, why was the whole Connor Hawk thing so irritating to you?
Because the whole issue with Oliver having a son, an illegitimate son, which is what Connor Hawk was. In the comics,
you're saying it should have been his son.
But the thing with that, too, is that they kind of like messed with that. Like they set it up so that his son would be Connor Hawk. But then they kind of retconned it a little bit and gave him a completely different name. Because I heard it was because there was outrage because the mother, Sandra Hawk is her name. She is not white. Like she's not a white lady. She's like half Asian, half black, I think. I could be totally wrong.
That sounds right. Like I don't really read Arrow comics, so I think that's right, because I think I've heard that information secondhand.
Yeah, before. I'm not as familiar with that storyline
yeah.
as some others.
So they had to change some things around, obviously, to sort of
so when, make things so right. When people called them out on that, like the whole casting a white actress, I heard that that made them retcon the entire thing. So then his son's name is William Clayton or whatever. And so then that just messed with that entire possibility.
Which is a shame, because I think it would have been more impactful of a story if it was like an estranged father and son.
Yeah.
And his son took up the mantle.
And that's like what it should be. That's like literally what it should be.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. Going back though to Night of the Hawk, Legends of Tomorrow, I really dug the makeup effects on the Hawk monster version of the characters. It was legitimately scary. Like, I would not want to encounter that thing in a dark
alley. It was
alley.
It was terrifying.
All black eyes, huge fangs.
Oh, man.
It was really awesome looking.
God, I thought I was all cut up. No, after this, I'm going to watch it because it sounds crazy.
Yeah. Sure.
Was it practical effects makeup?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only CGI they did was obviously when they were like flying around and stuff.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, like for scenes where it's the scene as he's getting injected with the nth metal meteorite serum, he's strapped to a table in the like the bowels of the hospital. Sure. So it, like you can see the eyes just go all black and it's...
Oh, that's creepy.
It's intense and that's awesome.
Another thing I liked about this episode, besides basically the entire thing, I thought it was a very well-rounded episode. Except the whole Sarah and nurse subplot. I thought that was a little too...
Like forced?
No, it was just too saccharine. A little too...
I get where you're coming
from. A little
from,
too maybe. Innocent or something?
Yeah, like it was a little too Disney almost.
Yeah.
That's... It's okay that you're lesbian. Things will work out in the end.
No. Like,
and then they sing and it's come. I don't...
Yeah. So you get what I'm trying to say with
that. Yeah, I definitely get where you're coming from on that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I like the Easter eggs in this episode too. I don't know if you
like
noticed
what?
Some of them, like the whole Curtis Knox thing. I'm not 100% sure, but I think that's like a Smallville Easter egg.
I'm looking up the name of Curtis Knox right now.
Curtis Knox.
Yes,
DC.
That is actually,
Oh, Smallville.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dr. Curtis Knox. Good catch.
Yep.
Oh, that was Dean Cain's character.
That was
that's
Dean
right.
Cain, yeah.
And then they also did this whole, the wing of the hospital where... His, like, experiments were held. It's called Hall H.
I get it.
Holy.
It's the big hall at Comic-Con where all the big reveals happen.
Oh, okay. That's hilarious.
Okay, here's what's interesting. So I'm just now reading the trivia for Curtis Knox Smallville.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, that was supposed to be Vandal Savage.
Really? I didn't know that.
Wow.
I need to look that up now.
But
it says originally this episode is going to feature existing DC villain Vandal Savage. When it turned out that the rights to use Savage were not available, the writers created Curtis Knox. This link between Savage and Knox is acknowledged in the DC Legends of Tomorrow episode, Night of the Hawk, where Vandal Savage uses Curtis Knox as an alias.
Yeah.
Wow, good job, AP.
I even missed that, and I consider myself
I honestly, though, if I'm being super honest, I missed that at first, and then I saw someone on Twitter mention it, and I was like, oh.
Thank you, fans on Twitter. You are
But still, what a great nod.
Yeah, yeah.
To a past CWWB DC right? series. Yeah. Like, holy crap.
Lately, that's kind of the whole throwback thing. It's been kind of reserved for Supergirl, I feel like.
Right.
Because they've had all those cameos. But it's nice to have that in one of these Flareverse shows,
Oh, absolutely.
Too.
I really dug the scene where Kendra is playing lookout as Ray gets into the Atom suit and flies into Savage's house.
Yes,
that felt like something out of like Rear Window.
Love that so much.
See, here's the problem. Like, we're talking about this episode. Poor Eric hasn't seen it yet, so all this is just...
Well,
I don't think we're giving too much away, though.
No, it's getting me excited. I'm like, I just want to finish this podcast so I can watch it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Should we talk? Well, I guess we kind of did already a little bit about the hype for Flash on Supergirl on Monday.
You know what? I'm pretty excited with it. Unfortunately, I have not been watching Supergirl. Like, I've literally only seen the pilot in one other episode.
Oh, you're missing out.
Yeah.
I know I'm missing out.
Yeah.
I know I'm missing out. There's so many shows that I'm missing. Like, I'm 10 episodes behind on Chicago PD and Fire and Med. I know I'm missing out. There's too many great shows.
You know what there are? There's so many great shows, so many great video games. It's media consumption overload. I'm dropping things to make time for other things.
But it says a lot about the Flaro universe that this is the one that I keep coming back to and that I stay current.
Yeah, exactly.
At its core, The Flash, Arrow, and now Legends of Tomorrow, for me and for us, are great television.
Yeah.
And I just have to catch up with Supergirl, but I will be watching Monday's episode because I love The Flash. The Flash has quickly become my favorite series, not just in the Flaro universe, but pretty much just on TV in general.
Yeah, and to kind of go off of that just a little bit,
yeah,
Supergirl is like a really well-rounded show. I want to say like sometimes it's tied with Flash for like my favorite like DC TV show, but it's maybe like a close second.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one for sure.
And those two being the ones to cross over, that has me even more excited because it's like the best two are coming together.
The promos and the behind the scenes stuff that they've released so far, like you can really tell that not only are we, the fans, obviously excited to see this, but watching Melissa and Grant both geek out and be like, oh, I get to work with another superhero. It's going to be so fun. You can tell they're excited, which just generates more hype.
I'm like literally grinning from ear to ear right now.
I can't wait for it to be Monday.
Flaro Nation, let us know what you think. If you have questions, you can email us at flarocavepowerhour@gmail.com or check us out at flarocave.com.
On April Fool's!
Yeah, April Fools. Yeah, guys, I mean, come on. We weren't going to
change. No, of course not.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope you guys did enjoy this prank.
Like, sometimes I wish we would change. Like, sometimes I kind of wish we did this podcast instead. But
you know what, AP? We'll start a second podcast, me and you, and we'll talk about this stuff.
Wait, why are you leaving me out?
Because you still haven't caught up with Legends of Tomorrow.
So I miss one episode and suddenly I'm out?
Off the Flaro cave.
Screw you guys.
I guess that's because I'm out of the Power Rangers one too, because I'm like so far behind on that. So if like any of us get behind, I'm assuming we're kicked out of the podcast.
Yeah.
No, that's not happening.
Episode, so.
Four or five episodes behind. It's really bad.
Well, don't worry about it, because we're going to be reviewing everything anyway in a couple weeks, okay, so you still have time to catch up.
Thank God.
You've been listening to the Ranger Command Power Hour, only on the Four-Eyed Radio Network. You can catch a new episode every other Saturday. Find us on the Morphing Grid at www.rangercommand.com. Follow us on Twitter at Ranger Command PH, and like us on Facebook.com/Ranger Command Power Hour. This is Truckee B47 from the Ranger Command Power Hour, and you are listening to the Four-Eyed Radio Network. Ranger Command is now on Patreon. Become a patron by pledging as much or as little as you like every month and receive cool perks. By pledging, you are helping us make our show even better. Go to patreon.com/rangercommandph to learn more. Thanks.
This has been another proud production of the Four-Eyed Radio Network. You want to see more shows? Go check out www.foureyedradio.com, you winkers.